Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. We got Paul Savage in for Tommy Kester today. Glad to have Paul in on another Wednesday. The Savage Wednesday is always a lot of fun. We'll check in around the sports world. I know Paul's been tuned into the Olympics like I have, and it's been a lot of fun. We'll get into some of that as we make our way through the day. A lot of Royals talk coming for you today, ladies and gentlemen. They were active at the trade deadline, and this year it was not as a seller. It was a buyer. Was it enough? What do we think of the deals as they get another win last night against the White Sox, another comeback win last night against the White Sox, who they just keep losing all their games, 16 straight, and we hope it'll be 17 straight in some day baseball today. But we'll get into the game. We'll get into the trade deadline. It's all there for us. It is just sort of slowly counting down to the start of the college football season. We got a little bit of a check-in with KU football yesterday. We'll talk about that more today as well. Lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. You can, of course, call us on the IHOP hotline, which is brought to you by IHOP. IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That number is 869-1240. You can also leave us your comments on our video streams. Of course, you can find us on 12 News Connected. Love being there now on Sports Daily. You can also find us on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. All three of those places, you can leave comments that we can see and put out over the air as well. We'll give away some HTO later today, and we'll give away some golf tickets, a chance to see a really cool golf event coming to town. We'll tell you more about that later in the program as well. Excited to be here with you. Paul, how are you, big fella?
Well, I'm good. I'm kind of like you. I don't know why, but this, I'm enjoying this Olympics more than I have in the last maybe couple Olympics. And I'll tell you what, and I know they're a competitor of yours. I know you're a CBS guy, but I'm going to give some accolades to NBC if you don't mind, because I think their coverage has been really good. I'm going to tell you that I'm seeing angles and insights into some of these sports that I, quite frankly, know very little about. You would think a sports guy like you and I would know everything there is about sports. Well, guess what, Jacob? I'm speaking for you to a certain extent. We don't know everything about every sport. But with that being said, the coverage of NBC has really been great with the insight and the shots that they're giving us that I don't remember seeing in other Olympics. Now, they may have been around for years. I don't know. But I'm really enjoying it. I guess the short version is this is a lot of fun. And watching the gymnasts last night, my goodness. I don't want to get you off schedule. I know you want to talk some trade stuff and royal stuff. But I'm kind of like you. I'm really having a good time with the Olympics on this one.
Yeah, look, NBC always does a good job with it. You probably give all the credit to Snoop, right? He's the reason. No, it's
Snoop,
been
for gosh sakes.
It's been good. It's been really good. And I know why I've enjoyed it more is because my kids are into it.
That's made it
a lot of fun.
Oh, more, sure, I got you.
More nostalgic. Shout out to the gymnastics team, the redemption story for Simone Biles. I'm not sure what Olympic things have been cooler than watching her jump 12 feet in the air to do her stuff, but yeah. It's just unbelievable. I don't even know what the best word, what other word you could use besides unbelievable. It is unbelievable how high she can jump in the air. But the redemption story is there. Team USA gets the gold. We get the men's gymnastics on the bronze. We've had swimming, all the swimming. We're going to start to get to, medal stuff for USA basketball and soccer and volleyball. And then we'll get track and field,
yeah.
Paul, which is,
yeah, that's
which
coming
is,
up.
As exciting as anything else.
Sure,
so I've really had a good time with it too. I'm with you. It's been enjoyable.
By the way,
that we didn't really build up that much coming into it. It didn't feel like, but here we go. We're here and I like it.
Didn't feel like it to me either. By the way, Simone Biles, I mean, I'm just going to say that we all know she's the greatest of all time. I guess after this gold medal she just won with the team, this makes her the most medaled gymnast, yeah, in the history of the Olympics. I mean, that's really something. And you were talking about the height she gets. I saw a schematic. I was just sitting watching last night. Did you see the schematic when she does this, like, double doubles, flip-flop and spin and twist and thing? They measured it with the camera. And at the top of her jump, where she comes up, does all these spins at the corner, 11'9", something like that, 11'10".
It's just insane.
It's almost 12. We're talking almost 12 feet.
I think there's a little springiness to those floors, but it doesn't matter. That's just ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You watch it and then you watch that and you're like, this is absolutely absurd that she can get that high.
Anyway,
never seen anything like it.
I just wanted to point that out. We'll get
shout
to this.
Out to them.
Can we get to, yeah, we'll get to this a little later in the show.
Shout out to them. No, yeah, I agree. It's
good,
been
good.
Fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Royals have a very eventful day yesterday, Paul.
They did.
On the baseball side, they have another comeback win. It's sort of started by Bobby Witt Jr.
It was.
Again.
That's right.
And they get a 4-3 win. As we look and dissect the bullpen, it was good to see Hunter Harvey back out there after his injury. However, he was not particularly good. Again, he did have two strikeouts in an inning, but he gave up two hits and a run. Michael Walker was really good. He continues to sort of be the stabilizing force, I think, lately in the rotation. Long got the opportunity for a save. He has been good this year. And look, maybe he's the guy they need to look at if MacArthur's going to continue to struggle. More on the pieces that they've added to that in a second. But as we look at that game, they get a 4-3 win. They've got a chance to come back and sweep today in some afternoon baseball, which you'll hear, of course, here on KFH. And it was a nice win. In the standings, Cleveland also won. So you gained a game on Minnesota. You're back tied essentially with Minnesota in the central standings. And then if you look at the wild card, you get the Royals now 2 games clear of Boston, 3.5 clear of Houston, 3.5 clear of Tampa, who was a major seller despite their winning record. They clearly don't believe in what they have, even though they've won 3 in a row. So you're looking at a playoff race right now that looks like it will consist of the Yankees/Orioles, the Twins, the Royals, Boston, Houston, and maybe Texas when they get all their pitching back, although that's looking like a longer shot. So, we're starting to see things sort out. We know Seattle went nuts at the deadline. They're probably in that mix too. It's going to be wild. And Kansas City right now is playing this softer portion of the schedule. They're back on track a little bit after a shaky couple series in a row. It helps to play the White Sox. You don't want to overthink it. But it was a nice win yesterday with some good timing that really helped them in the standings. It's another comeback win, Paul. The offense is kind of slogging along here just a little bit outside of Bobby Witt Jr. Need them to get it together, but a good day overall for the Royals on the field, as we will look at off the field in just a minute. But another win, another comeback win, and it is good to see them get that swag back. You know, there was a time in this season where it felt like they were going to score runs in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning every night, and that's kind of what they're starting to do again. That's, I think, a good sign for this team in general.
Right, and kind of the benchmark that I go by, which gives me a vision as to where this team is, you know, is they're 10 games over 500. That's pretty good. That's not too bad. Now, obviously, you've got the Guardians, and obviously they're 6.5 games. I like to see that 6.5 games get cut down to 3.5.
Well, they were maybe the big winners at the deadline. I don't know what to think about Cleveland, other than they're really good and they added
and they're going
more aggressively probably than they ever. I mean, at least that they have. I know their fans get frustrated with them that they don't, but I would caution the fans because they're always in the mix. But they were aggressive at the deadline. And they added big-time pieces. Good if you can catch them. I would let that stuff try to work itself out head-to-head. I think the Royals, you know, you kind of just focus on the wild card because Cleveland went and got a whole lot better, and they were already really good.
Right. But we know that Cleveland's going to go in a slump here one of these days. I mean,
who? Muted there, Paul. But that's okay. You know, it's crazy what Cleveland has done, not just this year, at the deadline. Cleveland doesn't do that kind of stuff at the deadline. They got a lot better. You know who didn't seem to get much better, at least to me, unless I missed them?
Who?
Is the Twins, Paul. Oh. And that's a good sign for the Royals, too.
Uh-huh.
And if you can catch Minnesota, you're going to be good. Like, if you can beat out Minnesota, I think you're in. And it may end up staying like it is, and both Kansas City and Minnesota get in. But I do think the second-place team in the AL Central gets into the postseason.
Uh-huh.
So there is a little bit of, you know, a battle with the Twins there for Kansas City to some degree.
Well, there's no question. And by the way, it was an interesting day.
You got your microphone muted there, Paul.
Hold on, just I'm gonna have to get with Jad. Evidently,
we're having a little bit of a technical issue there with Paul. I can't hear him. So we'll let them work on that. But yeah, it was an interesting day at the deadline around baseball, and we will get into the Royals move. The Royals go and they add another reliever. And Lucas Ursek, and they go and add Paul DeJong, who just walks across the street there from dugout to dugout to get in and become now a Kansas City Royal. So you've got some moves here, and we're going to break those moves down in just a minute. We'll look at those two, and then we'll look at sort of the overall picture of the trades the Royals were able to make. We can look at those, and we can also dig in and get to, you know, just yesterday specifically and sort of the way that was playing out. And bigger picture, as we get a comment here from a listener on X that says, hopes will thank John Sherman and, you know, get him that desperately needed new ballpark now. I do think John Sherman deserves a lot of credit. John Sherman has opened up the pocketbook. John Sherman has been willing to be aggressive financially, both in the offseason and at the deadline. They got the Bobby Witt Jr. deal done. So I think, you know, the early returns on John Sherman as an owner, if you're a Royals fan, have to be good. And I know people wanted this a little earlier, but the reality was that never really made any sense because they weren't any good. Now they are, and they're delivering. And he owed it to the clubhouse, and he owed it to the fan base to allow J.J. Piccolo to make some moves. Did they make enough moves? That's what we'll get into as we make our way through the program here on Sports Daily. All right, let's set up our first giveaway here for you. So the Heritage Classic Tournament at Rolling Hills Country Club, it's the tour championship for the Annika Women's All-Pro Tour. So the tournament is out at Rolling Hills here in Wichita. That's 223 Southwest Link. It's August 1st through the 4th, so it starts tomorrow. And if you want to check out the Heritage Classic, again, it's the tour championship for that Women's All-Pro Tour. All you got to do to get on the party patio for this thing out at Rolling Hills is text the keyword golf to the short code 20357. You can enter this once per day. The contest will end Friday. So today through Friday, you'll have an opportunity here. If you want to get it out, get out there and check it out from the party patio, all you got to do is text the keyword golf to 20357. That'll be our contest here for the first hour. Message and data rates apply. Golf 20357. We'll set that up for you. We're going to come back. We've got all kinds of Royals talk for you here. Trades, trades, trades. What do we think? We'll give some grades as we make our way through. It is Sports Daily. All right, let's do it on KFH.
Seven-five and 1240 KFH.
All this baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Welcome back here. And we've got Jacob Albrecht. That's me. We've got Paul Savage. Hey, Paul.
Maybe we have.
That's all we got you. Hey!
Dad, congratulations. We couldn't figure out what was going on.
Dad Chambers is the miracle worker.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what, a miracle worker he is.
All right, so we got Paul back here. We're rocking and rolling. We're talking Major League Baseball. Royals get a nice win over the White Sox. They need to be beating the White Sox. That's great. Let's talk about the trade deadline, Paul.
Right.
So they go and they get two deals done yesterday, and they go get another reliever, which we pointed out they needed badly, and they go and they get Paul DeJong. Now, Paul DeJong doesn't come in and really profile to help them at the leadoff spot. His on-base percentage is not very high. That's not what he does. But what he does have is some pop. And his 18 home runs would profile in right behind Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez this year for this team. So some pop there, a veteran presence. I got no problem with that move. Cost them nothing but money. They gave up two unranked prospects. I mean, one is a lower-level reliever that has had pretty good stuff this year. But again, not much really that you're giving up there. Then you've got Lucas Urseg. Now, Paul, I'll be honest. I have not looked up, you know, a reliever outside of Mason Miller really for the A's. So I see the name and I'm like, okay, let's look this guy up. Let's learn about Lucas Urseg. Well, first you see, okay, what did they give up? And what they did give up was their number 4 and number 18 prospects, which seems like a lot. But again, remember, the Royals farm system is not as deep as most in Major League Baseball. They only have one prospect, Blake Mitchell, inside the top 100 overall in baseball. And that doesn't mean anything other than it gives us a benchmark sort of to look at versus what other teams are working with. So the Royals give up a fair deal, but Urseg has tons of control, Paul. He's not going to be a free agent for a little while. This is a guy that was a position player in the Brewers system. They took him in the second round. It was a position player. He switched over to become a reliever, and he's really only had, you know, a year. We'll call it a year and a half, I guess. We'll call it a year and a half in the big leagues. He pitched in 50 games last year. He's pitched in 38 this year as a relief pitcher. Last year, he had some growing pains, let's call it. This year, he's been much better than he was last year. And so, you know, I see things like, okay, he's got a 120 whip. That profile is really good for the Royals. It's not like elite stuff, but it's better than what the Royals have had. And his ERA has been fine. He's got a decent amount of strikeouts, you know, for his innings pitch, 41 and 38 innings. You'd like to see that a little higher. But then I start to go to the scouts and I'm like, okay, well, what is it with this guy? And that's where you start to see the real appeal. And that's some of his really high-end plus pitches. So for a guy who's still sort of learning how to be a pitcher, Paul, with the kind of stuff that he brings to the table, he profiles as a long-term, sort of like Hunter Harvey, profiles as a long-term back end of the bullpen kind of guy. Can he help them, you know, in the biggest role this year? Are you going to really throw this guy out there and try to let him close games? I don't know about that. But the reality is they needed some horses back there.
Right.
Because they're dealing with a lot back there. And he certainly adds a quality arm that's better than most of what they have back there. And in my opinion, it just didn't cost that much for a controllable pitcher like this. So I love that deal. I'm fine with the DeJong deal. We get, you know, Piccolo talking after the fact that they were in on a lot of players, but the price tag on a lot of players was getting too high. And so I think we did, you know, over time, we wondered about this, you know, over the last 48 hours or so, how much would they be willing to give up? I've said they should go all in. They weren't going to go all in. There were players out there, I think, that could have really, really helped them offensively. But I do think as the dust settles, if you are in the camp as a Royals fan of not wanting to mortgage the future to go all in this year, I think you can be satisfied. I think if you're in my camp, which was do whatever it takes to reward the, you know, the fans and these players, I think you can be satisfied. I mean, I wanted them to be as aggressive as anybody on the planet, and I think I'm satisfied between Ursek and Harvey and Lorenzen. You know, DeYoung comes in. Okay, that's that helps. That's going to help this team. Does it help them enough? I'm not sure.
Right.
But it'll help them, and it certainly made them better.
Well, it did. I mean, there was a day that we called for this, wanted this, dreamed for this, and now you're starting to get those days. The Royals are playing well. That's what happens when you play well. So with that being said, obviously the Royals are looking, with particularly with Harvey and Lorenz and Ursic. I get it. I know what you're trying to do. I got a question for you, though. There's one thing that I'm not sure of. Maybe you can help me on it. I know you're familiar with the Rangers. I know you follow the Rangers. That's your other team other than the Royals. Lorenz, is he now – help me out. Is he going to be a reliever or is he going to be a starter?
Well, we don't know yet. He can do both. Okay. He's done both. For the Rangers this year, he's been a starter because they've needed him to be a starter. They're basically – every pitcher in their starting rotation has been hurt at some point this year. He's sort of been this stabilizing force. But he's been a reliever over the years. He's been a starter recently.
Right.
I think he's a backup plan for Alec Marsh. I think he's a backup plan to get these starters who have been basically going all year without interruption to very small degree of interruption at times with Michael Wacha. I think that he gives them a chance to give everybody just a little bit extra rest to make sure they're good to go down the stretch. I think in some cases with these starters, we're seeing a little fatigue. And so Lorenzen is going to, my guess is, be their utility knife. Probably you're going to see him every once in a while. I bet you'll see them skip starts and let him, you know, just sort of fill in as they go. And then get everybody that rest to be ready down the stretch.
Right.
I do think he helps them in the bullpen. Like, I think, you know, as we're losing faith in some of the relievers that the Royals throw out there, I think he also helps them there. I think he helps them both places. But I think, you know, I don't think we need to overthink it sometimes. The reality is that Lorenzen and Ursek and Harvey are three additions to the pitching staff overall that make it a more talented pitching staff than it was, you know, before those three came in.
I don't think there's any question about that.
And so when you look at those three players and DeYoung, the prospect haul is your number two prospect, a supplemental draft pick, your fourth ranked prospect and your 18th ranked prospect in a system that's not, you know, particularly loaded at the moment. It's one of the worst in baseball by most rankings. I think that is a very fair and a lot of money and a lot of, you know, unranked prospects who could develop and do all those things. But I think that's a pretty fair price to pay for what they were able to bring in. You know, it wasn't headliners. Harvey was by far the most expensive, it appears. But you've got guys that can help you now and you've got guys that can help you long term. So I'm okay with it. Right. I am. I think it was a nice job by the front office. As the dust has settled and we've had, you know, about not quite 24 hours, but about 12 hours to really think about it, I think I'm satisfied as somebody who wanted them to be aggressive. My disappointment is that they did not go find a leadoff hitter. So that's going to continue to be a problem for this team. And I don't know what the answer to that problem is. I don't think it's DeYoung because that's not, I mean, he's been essentially what they've had in that category. They continue to run Massey out there. Maybe Massey is the best option. I still think Fermin should be an option there. They just don't have anybody really outside of Bobby Witt Jr. who profiles as that, and we know he's not going to do that. And so, you know, that's the one thing I think they really clearly need. But the other thing they need, Paul, is their guys that are already on the roster to step up and to continue to step up.
That's right.
You need somebody to step it up and become a leadoff hitter. You need, you know, the bullpen on the back end to provide for you a closer. I mean, there may be a time where it's Harvey, Ursek, and what that are closing out games. Who is it? Is it MacArthur getting back on track? I doubt it. So who else is there that could maybe do that? Maybe it's Long. We saw him close the game out last night. But, you know, I think, again, we've wanted them. You were with me. You wanted super aggression.
I did.
I think Tommy came there lately with the super aggression. And I think, you know, for me and for the people on that side of it, I'm satisfied here. I think they did enough to say it was, you know, it was a good aggressive job at the deadline.
Right. As long as the Royals have a chance. Now, obviously, if the Royals say were 5-6 games back from where they were, say that their record was four or five losses more, six losses more than they are right now, we'd all be saying, well, we get it, and this is what we've become used to, right? But when you have a team that is potentially going to make the playoffs, could make the playoffs, I better put it that way, that could potentially make the playoffs, you go do these kind of things. And how smart are the Royals? Because I think they're really smart in the way they're attacking this. What starts wearing down at the end of the year? Well, pitching is always one of those things where the grind is tremendous for a pitcher. The grind through August is tremendous. The heat, the hassle, the pitches, you know, it's so this is really, I think, something that shows Royal fans, it shows me in particular, that this is a team that wants to work itself into the playoffs, that wants to get better. And when you add the three pitchers that they've added, and we'll figure out Lorenz later where he fits in to this deal. But when you have Ursing and Harvey, I mean, I think those give you so much great flexibility out of the bullpen. And I think, I think it's tremendous. I have never been so up on. And let me just say this, I've got friends in management who are no longer with the Royals, but I don't want to belittle them, but this is exciting. I've never been as excited by you know the trade deadline as
even
I am
in
right
2015?
Now. Well,
in 2015, they were getting headline guys in 2015.
Okay, all right. Well,
they had more. You know, they were coming off a World Series. And they had more ammo to go get them.
That was heady times. That was heady. Yeah,
and
that's right.
I think this whole season, we've been talking about this for 2 months. I'm kind of sad it's gone now. because it's been so much fun to look at. But we've been talking about it for almost a full Major League Baseball season. The second that we saw this team look like, okay, they're going to have a chance here. And it took us about the first month of the year.
It did.
All right, Seth Lugo. Okay.
Right.
It was, and again, I mean, it shouldn't surprise anybody. It's really all about Bobby Witt Jr. and his explosion this year. And you're like, all right, you know what? I think it's time to be, I think this team could make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Maybe it seemed crazy in the beginning, but it shouldn't because their starting rotation has been so dang good. So good. And so you look at it that way, and it's just it's always made sense for this to be the outcome. Could they have given up a little more maybe and gone after a Rosarena or, you know, Lane Thomas, both of those guys we really liked, fits for them. Jazz Chisholm, who's had four home runs since being traded to the Yankees, just ridiculous. Yeah, sure. But I don't know that they could have gotten there. I don't know that they could have, even if they wanted to. I don't know if they could have matched what other teams were giving up to get those guys. So I think you have to look at it, you know, in reality too. Like, was it ever realistic to go get those guys? I'm not sure that it was.
Well,
but they went and found names that, I mean, nobody was talking about Harvey or
Ursing
before they went and got him.
No, that's
nobody
correct. Was. That's correct.
And so that means they were working that much harder to go identify guys that they could get control, probably that people didn't even see being, you know, trade candidates because they still had control left. And JJ Piccolo did exactly what he told us right here on Sports Daily that they wanted to do. They wanted to go get controllable players and they had to be aggressive for the present, but not mortgage the future. Mm. Now that's window dressing. GMs always say that, right?
Right.
But he meant it.
No.
And I think we saw that play out. Is it enough? Well, we're going to have to see the final 2 months of the season to know that answer. Mm-hmm. August starts tomorrow. You know, so over 2 months, can this be enough? Maybe. Do they have anybody in the farm system that could come up there and help them right now? I honestly don't know. I'm not sure. I doubt it. You know, they just drafted a kid out of Florida who's a high level bat. Do you make that kind of a bold move? I don't think so. I think you maybe consider him Caglione a contributor next year at best, sort of like Wyatt Langford is for the Rangers this year, a high-level college bat, his former college teammate, by the way, but not this year, probably. Mm. Now, I guess you got to look at it and see, you know, there are always those veteran trades that can happen after the deadline, which become kind of salary dumps. There's going to be a lot of teams blocking each other this year in that, because I think there are so many teams competing. Can the Royals ever get involved in one of those players? That would be a John Sherman question, because usually that just costs you a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But for now, this is what we're looking at. This is the team we're looking at. We haven't talked about Paul DeJong much. People, the instant reaction was like, why? Why did they go get Paul DeJong? Right? Like, what was the purpose?
Well, 18 homers. That's why.
18 homers in depth, right? He can pretty much play any of the positions.
That's right. He can play second, play short. Actually, play third if he needs to. Yeah, that's right. He can play them all.
I would say this, too. Like, right now we're looking at, you know, a .236 batting average, six home runs, and a .633 OPS for Michael Garcia. Okay, if you go to DeJong this year, you're looking at, you know, a .228 batting average, a .706 OPS, so just a little bit higher. He doesn't run as much. And has had quite a bit more power. So, you know, you can certainly justify playing him there if you chose to. You can certainly justify giving him some time at second. I wonder, and I would imagine, that there is a slight chance we see him in the outfield a little bit. I don't know even how much. I believe he's played some outfield. I don't know how much or how long it's been or anything like that, but I think he could if you needed him to. But he's a depth piece, Paul. And who knows? Maybe you catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe he just comes over and he catches lightning in a bottle and you go. They're going to continue to tinker with the lineup. Massey got a hit at least last night, you know, in that leadoff spot. There's a lot they still have to accomplish at that spot in the lineup. It's funny. You saw Massey and Fermin. I think those are the best two candidates to hit in that spot. Dairon Blanco is the other guy. And people have asked me why not him. He gets on base a lot. And I kind of agree. But, you know, it's not going to be a spot of strength for this team. And I guess we just are going to have to deal with it.
Right.
And other than that, I think I was satisfied. I they didn't get their close. But some of these high leverage relievers that were traded, Paul, I just like when you see what was traded for them, I'm just not sure they were ever going to be in that market. I just don't know that they were. I don't know that they had it. So I applaud the front office for going then and finding Ursig, a guy nobody even thought about being traded. I didn't see his name in a trade rumor one time. Same with Harvey. But what they profile the same way. They've got some really electric stuff. They, you know, in a best case scenario, could profile at the very back end of your bullpen. And they have player control. And I do think you do have to think about the Royals as a this year and next year at minimum. I would be stunned if the Royals aren't aggressive in the offseason. Stunned. Based on what we've seen in the past offseason and this season at the trade deadline, I would be stunned if John Sherman doesn't green light some more money to be spent. They are trying to build a stadium. And to, you know, Kaufman Ghetto on X, who says, you know, John Sherman deserves something, he absolutely does. Does he deserve a new ballpark? I think those are probably two different conversations.
Right.
But, you know, he'll probably get one. But that's why he's got to be aggressive. And right. That's all, honestly, right. Paul, that is a part of the reason why I've said this is a year for the Royals to get after it,
right?
Is because they are trying to convince people to help them build a brand new stadium, mm-hmm. when they don't need one, quite frankly.
Well, they need renovation, if nothing else, but that's another story. But I guess when you look at overall, before we get out of this segment, I think we'd visit with you just a second about the overall results from the trade deadline. Mariners certainly helped themselves. They were pretty darn aggressive. Padres. Oh, yeah. And the Phillies were also,
right?
I mean, you look at those teams, some of those teams, although they didn't need the help as much as other teams, they helped themselves as well. Dodgers get a key piece or two, but not as aggressive as they've been in the last few years. But Mariners, boy, oh boy, they jumped on this on the trade deadline big time, didn't they?
Mariners, Guardians, big winners. Padres, surprising. Most surprising, I think, for sure. The Phillies and the Orioles did a ton.
Yeah.
The big dogs ate at the trade deadline.
They did. That's a well-said phrase. That's it.
But I think, and look, the Astros went and added Yusei Kikuchi. a starting pitcher who I like. The Red Sox are kind of like the Royals, I think, just a lot of little things. And the Twins didn't do a lot. You know, the Twins didn't do much. I don't know what they did. I'd have to defer and go look at that. But certainly nothing that scares you. The Rays, who we perceived as a competitor with the Royals, they sold. So you don't think that they'll be as good. So they sold. I think when you look around baseball, of course, the Yankees added and insofar have had the most significant addition in Jazz Chisholm. But I think as you look around the competition for the Royals, if you think about, you know, Boston, Houston, Seattle, Minnesota, I don't think I'm forgetting anybody, is the most likely teams that'll be competing for those wild card spots. I think you can feel pretty good. I don't think the Astros did more than the Royals. I don't think Boston did more than the Royals. I think the Mariners certainly did. But I don't feel terrible about any of it. I think they held their own and they did fine. Again, if we're giving grades, Paul, I'll give the Royals front office a solid B, probably a B+.
Attaboy. You're right on target. You're right on target. By the way,
I'm not going to give them an A because they couldn't land any of the big fish. Right. But I certainly think it was a successful, you know, trade season for the Royals.
Yeah.
So we'll go B to B+.
And by the way, I'm going to agree with you on Jazz Chisholm. He may be the most exciting guy in the trade involved in this thing. Jazz Chisholm is like, he's like from another planet. He might end up being.
His upside is very
high. Oh my gosh. He's got a lot of upside. That's right.
But his floor is relatively low too. But added into that lineup for a team that just needed a little juice.
Yeah.
They got a little juice.
He brings it, doesn't he? There's some juice there.
They got a little juice there.
That's right.
Now you can go Chisholm and Soto and Judge at the top of that lineup, and it's like, okay.
A lot of excitement.
They're going to hit some home runs, if nothing else. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into the Royals the rest of the series today, kind of look ahead on the schedule as well in the second hour. We'll come back a little Olympics talk. I know Paul and I have both been, you know, paying attention closely to the Olympics, closer than maybe normally we would.
Right.
We'll touch on that as we make our way back. Want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee, always keeping us fueled up mornings here on KFH. Paul's got his. We're rocking
right
and rolling
here,
on a Wednesday. It's all Brockton Savage, Chad Chambers producing it, Sports Daily. Don't go away. And rolling, jamming on a Wednesday. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage alongside you here. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us on KFH and the Odyssey app. Glad to be here. We'll give away a little HTO in the second hour. I got one giveaway going right now. Heritage Classic Tournament out at Rolling Hills. If you want to go to the party patio, just text the keyword golf to the short code 20357. Speaking of golf, this portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club.
Yep.
There's been a little tennis action. There will be a little golf action. Some of those, you know, sort of country club sports, a big part of the Olympics and a part that we have our eye close on. I don't know what the Americans' chances are in tennis, but I know there's been, you know, tennis headlines out there. You had Djokovic and Nadal facing off. And
don't forget Coco.
And Coco Gauff
is losing it.
You know, I know. Is she out, or is she a part of anything else?
No, she's part of doubles and mixed doubles.
Got it.
Still involved in those. But she blew up. She went. To Haiti and back with this in the singles. It was something to see.
Yeah, she's young. She's going to have an opportunity too, and I think she'll embrace it. She's been a fun personality to watch develop in a lot of ways. So you've got that. You've got the golf still to come, and you know, we appreciate Crestview, by the way. You can go play golf out there, get through this heat. You've had some clouds, believe it or not. 36 holes of golf out there at Crestview. We appreciate their support. And give them a call for real. Go check it out if you haven't been out there. Get out there, try to play a little bit. Check out the facilities. You know, they're working on the pool right now to get some major upgrades out at the pool, which is where our family spends the most time probably out there. We're at that pool a lot. It's sort of just become our pool. But check it out. Give them a call. The Olympics, Paul, have been good. I think, you know, as we saw the Simone Biles redemption story, I even with the calf injury, I will say that I sort of expected this to happen. Didn't make it any less awesome to see. Such a great story. I appreciate how she has, you know, fought her fight fairly publicly to try and maybe, you know, help people who are dealing with. That was one of the more bizarre things we have seen in sports, certainly in the Olympics, what happened in Tokyo with her. It was very strange. And she opened up about it. We get it now. And she, at 27 years old, was able to come back. And she's going to still be a big part of the Olympics because they got to get to the individual stuff. But it did seem, you know, it seemed like USA was going to win gold. They handled their business. They got it. And it was a great story. I still think my favorite Olympic moment so far, Paul, is the men's team getting back to the podium and doing it with, you know, the guy that was on the pommel horse, and I can't pronounce his last name, but, you know, him not doing anything else but sort of specializing in that just for that moment to help this team and getting up there and hitting his thing to help them get bronze. That was still, I think, my favorite of the Olympic moments so far. That was really, really cool to see.
It was.
But there have been a lot, man. They've been knocking it out of the park. It's been, even with the time change, The only spoilers I could not avoid were the USA women's gymnastics. That was just so in your face yesterday as you're trying to follow the trade deadline. Otherwise, I've been able to avoid the spoilers for the most part, and it's been an enjoyable Olympics.
Yeah, and by the way, and I don't know when this was rescheduled, but on television right now in the studio, we're watching a little bit of the Olympics, and it looks like they got the triathlon going, and I know they've been...
Are they in the river?
They're in the river. I mean, I don't know.
Uh-oh.
This is what, probably 6 hours ago they started this, but they're in the river. You know something? I'm not sure I'm on top of this. I think they could have moved this and gotten away.
Yeah, I don't get it. We read yesterday in our newscast, I read a story. They have spent something like $1 billion. $1 billion trying to get that river cleaned up enough for people to swim in it. And I'm all for cleaning up rivers.
Well, obviously, that's right. But
$1 billion just for the Olympics? Maybe they could just do that portion somewhere else. That seems like again, maybe it's just worth it to try to get the river cleaned up and it's a worthwhile investment. But if we're doing that just so swimmers in the Olympics can swim in the river, yeah, we'd probably find a different place to swim.
Find a different river. But my thought was, you know, anytime and I think one of the things that they were talking about was, now don't quote me, I'm no scientist, no doctor or anything, but I think the word E. coli came up in one of the conversations I was listening to. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm not jumping anything in which the word E. coli is involved with. So, but here they are, they're all swimming. Of course, you're an Olympian, I know that at one stage of my life, I would have had the mindset, Jacob, you know, nothing can stop me. This is my quest. I'm going to do it. I don't care what it is. I get that attitude. But, you know, there's got to be people involved in charge that say, come on now. You know, this, we can't put in. I mean, what's the difference between yesterday and today? You know, a river's pretty big. Rivers flow.
I don't know.
For all we know, something, you know, came in and took something else. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I don't get it. I'm sure they'll all be okay. They're all young and strong, but we hope so. But I mean, come on now, find another place. But they're in the water. They're in the water. Mm. Nobody in the stands. I'm sitting here looking at it right now. Nobody in the stands, but they're all in the water, Jacob.
We'll watch it. I don't know what's on the schedule tonight for the prime time. I'll try to avoid spoilers and watch it again with the kids tonight. It'll be fun. It has been. Has been fun so far.
It has been a ball.
All right, so coming up in hour number two, we're going to check in from Chiefs camp. Jad has some more Mitch Holthus nuggets for us to dissect. So we'll check in on that coming up after the break. We'll give away a little HTO. We'll look ahead on the Royals schedule. Now that, you know, we're settled in, no more trade deadline to worry about. These are the guys they have there. What's coming up on the schedule? What's coming up tonight for the team? We'll look at all of that for the Royals. And we'll really dig in there and bounce around maybe to some other NFL storylines because there's a lot of them. You know, when we get Savage in, we like to talk a little football. 869-1240 is the number for you to call to get in touch with the program here on KFH. You can also leave us your comments on our video streams, watching on 12 News Connected. Don't go away. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming right up.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is hour number two on Sports Daily. We are bringing you the IHOP hotline. IHOP excited to bring back all-you-can-eat pancakes through September 15th. That number is 869-1240 if you want to get in touch with the program that way. You can also leave us your video comments here. You're watching us on 12 News Connected. You can also watch us on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Leave those comments there. Always appreciate all the different ways people listen to the show, watch the show. And oh, by the way, you can, you can go back and listen to the show in the past. You can podcast this show out. It's a really cool thing that you can find on the Odyssey app. I know a lot of people listen to us that way. It's a great way to take in the program if you're not able to catch us all 2 hours, or maybe you're, you know, at work and not able to tune in, or a great interview, or whatever it is. So you can always find those at the Odyssey app and kfhradio.com. Paul, I went and watched the Deadpool versus Wolverine movie. Are you a superhero movie guy?
Yeah, well, Paul? Some of them. I like Deadpool. That's fun. And, of course, you know, the star of that show makes it. Who is it? It's
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. That's right. He makes it. What else? Well, you know, I just think if I knew him, we'd be good friends. Because, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's the way everybody feels, certainly,
yeah.
About Ryan Reynolds.
But I love Deadpool.
Go back all the way to Van Wilder, one of the great, you know, just slapstick comedies of my generation. Jad, I assume you're a superhero guy. You're a sci-fi guy. So I assume you're a superhero guy.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Are you Deadpool guy? You into those movies?
I didn't watch Deadpool until quite a while after it came out. And this latest one is probably going to be about the same. I might wait for it to hit like home video or something. It's not something I really care enough to go to a theater to see.
It's really good. I will say that. My wife and I, it was her birthday yesterday. We just went and watched a movie. It's Tuesday, not a lot to do. And she likes Ryan Reynolds and doesn't know much about the superhero. When I say doesn't know much, doesn't know anything about the superhero stuff. But she thought it was good. It was very good. If you're my age and grew up with the superhero movies ahead of sort of this latest round of them with the Avengers, it was a lot of fun. So that was good. We don't get to the theater much. You know, we try to go see some of the kid movies, Paul, when we can. But as far as like adult grown-up movies, I couldn't even tell you the last one my wife and I went and watched.
Oh, is that right?
And we don't watch a lot of movies anyway, but we do love going to the movie theater. I'm a big supporter of the movie theater. I still love doing that. So now we kind of do it with our kids.
Right.
I'll tell you what, though, Paul, and I've come around to this in probably the last, I don't know, the first time I did this was when the new Star Wars movies came out. And I may have said this before. I am definitely not opposed at this stage of my life of a solo trip to the movie theater. Now, how do you feel about that? Because I was very judgmental to that crowd at a younger age. You can't go to a movie theater and watch a movie by yourself.
Right.
Now, I'm like, heck yeah. Let's go to the movie theater and watch a movie by myself. It's great.
Well, here's the thing, though. The thing about this is that times are changing a little bit. I mean, obviously, you know, and it's not, and movie theaters and people who make movies are adjusting to what people want. Now, I'll say this. I enjoy the occasional trip to the movie theater, and it's a good business. I applaud those that want to go see a movie. There's something about a 20-some foot screen. But I have a 75-inch Sony television at my house, and I like that. And
yeah.
It just so happens that the recliner that I have is made of leather. Jacob, it's leather. And so with a 75-inch TV and a leather recliner, you know, it's kind of hard to beat that. So I usually have a tendency to wait. Now, the last movie that I saw, which will probably date me a little bit, I can't remember the name of it, but it was the life story of Kurt Warner, the football player, the NFL Hall of Famer, who played football, if you remember. Where did he start his career? Indoor football.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Ball with the Iowa Barnstormers, a team that's still operating today. And that was the last movie that I went to see. But with that being said, I'm one of those guys who will watch a movie through the streaming services. So it's not like they're not getting my money. The movie producers and those people are getting my money. It's kind of is it a different way, I guess? Maybe it's different because the theaters aren't. I don't know. I feel guilty. I feel guilty about not going to the theaters enough.
I mean, look, you got to have the right kind of movies, you know, but like the Dune movie, which I know Jad's a fan of Dune. I went and watched that.
That was boring. What are you talking about, Jad? That was horrible.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was boring. That was boring. Boring and predictable. I sound like a
critic. Maybe it was predictable if you read the books.
Yeah, I read those books about 20 years ago, I could kind of predict what was going to go on.
Otherwise,
it was really good.
Wow, it was fantastic.
Well, I see we have a creative difference here on this show right now.
Creative difference. Have I told you this, Jad, what happened to me when I went to watch that movie? So I go to watch that movie because I loved the first one, and you and I have talked about the books. I've read now the first two books, I think, whatever. So I go to see the second one. And I'm like, all right, I'm really excited. I'm going to go by myself. And I walk in, and I knew I was going to be a couple minutes late, but I'm like, man, there really weren't any previews. And
You did tell me this. This is a great story.
I'm like, I see this scene, and I'm like, man, this is how it starts? Maybe I don't remember do I not remember the ending of the first one correctly? And it's like, I'm watching this. I'm like, this can't be right. And I'm looking around, and the first thing I do, I walk in the theater, and you know, you get into it was the adult one. So you have like assigned seats now. And I'm like, man, somebody's sitting in my seat. So I go to sit in the front row. I'm like, whatever, I'm late. It's my own fault. I go and I sit down in the front row, which always sucks. I'm looking up. I'm like, whoa, this escalated quickly, like right out of the gates. And man, they must not have had previews or whatever. And it took me about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes to realize I walked into the wrong theater.
Oh,
there were like three showings of the movie.
God,
so I'm watching
sakes.
The end of the movie happen. Like I'm watching the ending. I'm like, oh crap. And I run out of the theater, go to mine. And then of course there's, you know, 40 minutes of previews or whatever. Got time to, you know, grab a cocktail and sit down and relax. But it was just like, what is happening here? I'm that dude, like, you know, shuffling up and down the aisle looking for my seat. Excuse me. Not realizing I'm interrupting the ending of the movie for everybody. So sorry if you were in there. But no, it was good. Deadpool versus Wolverine. Great movie. I loved it. I'm a big X-Men guy. So I that's my superhero group or whatever. So I had a good time. But we enjoyed that last night. Paul, let's take a trip around NFL camps a little bit. We'll start with the Chiefs.
All right, let's do it.
Who, by the way, just programming note here for the Chiefs and training camp. They get a lot of returns today to practice, so certainly good signs here. Hollywood Brown back at practice and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, they had both just been sick, so no big deal there. Chris Jones is back today at practice. That is a fantastic sign.
Big deal.
And,
big deal.
And Jalen Watson, activated from the PUP, he is back out there today, and he could be a big part of what they do. So you've got really positive, injury stuff today from camp. But we want to go. Mitch Holthus has been doing his training camp tour over with fellows on KNSS, Steve and Ted. And so Jad's been able to take some of this for us and bring it over. And what Jad has today, so this is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, you hear the Chiefs games on our Odyssey family of networks. So Jad grabbed this, and it is Mitch. He's talking about Travis Kelce, and the setup here is just the leadership on this team. This has been the theme for me, at least in camp, is the tone being taken when you've won two Super Bowls, when everything's looking like roses. How do you get through the grind of something like training camp when you've been doing it forever and it seems like probably the worst week of the year? Here's Mitch Holthus talking about those guys and what's been going on there in St. Joe.
And one of those is Travis Kelce. We get caught up in Taylor Swift and New Heights and Saturday Night Live, and Kelce has become larger than life. But, guys, I'm telling you, when he's here, he's locked in. And one thing I noticed last year was he was just unusually geeked out for these playoffs. He wanted to win back-to-back Super Bowls. He went to another level of intensity, even to the point, remember, where it went, maybe went past the line when he bumps coach in the Super Bowl. But I remember before the Baltimore game, I do a pregame show on the field called Field Pass, and then I do the pregame, you know, in the locker room so I can run up and do the game. I hear Kelce, like William Wallace, shrieking in the room next door and going, oh, my God, what's going on? I asked Kelce about it. Like, why so intense?
You know, there's certain things that at this point in my career I see that we may need. And I've been fortunate enough to be here all 13 or all 12 years. I'm sorry, I'm giving myself even more more than that. Since 2013, I should say. And I think as a leader, I've over the course of these seasons, it's just kind of in me to try and do whatever the team needs me to do. And sometimes that extra spark of just showing the passion and the desire that I have to win and want to be that for the team and want that so bad for the team. Sometimes you just need to see one of your teammates or one of the leaders on the team, you know, show that drive and show that energy and kind of, you know, embody the mentality that you got to have to, you know, win a Super Bowl, you know. So it's just, I think the passion's always been there. How I show it has always been, you know, unique.
I mean, look, it matters. That stuff matters, I think, Paul. When we talk about the Chiefs, and I think there are enough new players that will be hungry. And again, history will motivate them enough, I think, right? Like history, they have that part on their side. Reed came back. Kelce came back. I know people were asking those questions. I'm not sure why. Mahomes is back. But it is, you know, you're talking about keeping up the intensity was the word there for 3 years, and really for them, it's been for like 6 years. And you know, Mahomes is about to have his third kid, and Kelce's dating the most famous person in the world, and Andy Reid is, you know, getting a little long in the tooth. But it doesn't seem like any of those things are messing with the chemistry and the formula that has made the Chiefs what they are. So, I'm not concerned about it, but it is something you wonder about, right? When you've been the best, like those guys have been, how do you keep that up for that long? Don't you get tired at all? And it just doesn't sound like they have even a little bit.
Well, you love radio, don't you? I know you do. You love television. Yeah. I know you do. How do you keep it up, you know, year after year? Because you've been doing this a long time, Jacob.
You do come to the office some days more or less motivated than others. And I just don't know that to achieve what they're achieving, you can afford to do that, right? Like if we're being honest with ourselves, like shows maybe in the summertime that we're doing here don't get us as amped up as a football season Monday to react to everything we just saw over the weekend.
Well, okay,
and
I
so
agree.
But I think at their level, like, you can't afford that very often, mm-hmm. if at all. And that includes into training camp. Mm-hmm. And we know this about the Chiefs. They will install things now that they might use in week 17 because they've been working on it and setting up. Like, that amount of focus is wild, wild stuff. And they just, like, those three people, Mahomes, Kelce, Andy Reid, they just seem to never lose that drive, that daily drive. It's wild to me. But, you know, it's what we continue to hear. And it is, like, it's impressive. It's an impressive part of what they've done. Physically, obviously, everything's impressive. Mentally, everything's impressive. But emotionally, everything has been very impressive mm-hmm. so far in camp.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, it's wild to see it from older guys who've been doing it for so long.
That's what makes football so special in the eyes of a lot of people. And by the way, you know, I made a mention that you love the radio show. You love your position on at KWCH and what you do on air. You love that stuff. It's part of who you are. But it's also 365 days a year, 8 to 5 or whatever the case may be. I mean, it's sort of a job. Football's not a job. And I think that might be the difference.
For some players. I think it is for some people.
Well, if it's a job for some players, then they probably won't be around very long, because football's not a job. It's a privilege. Football is something special, and it does have that, whatever it is.
But let's be real.
Okay,
Paul.
Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers sometimes chooses to do other things and not be solely focused on football.
He's a different cat. Come on,
are a lot of examples. Let me try to think of another example, because he's been the most high profile, obvious answer recently. Even the contract stuff. How long did Travis Kelce just get out there and play severely underpaid most of his career? Right, Patrick Mahomes right now could be one of the dozens and dozens of NFL players with a contract dispute. They just don't let that stuff come into play. And it is wild, because the Chiefs have dealt with a lot of things off the field during this era of Chiefs football. A lot of pretty bad things, quite frankly. But it never bleeds onto the field. What was unique about last year is, for the first time, with, you know, Kelce bumping Andy Reid or whatever, like, you started to see some of that. And I think that's all the motivation they need. And that's what, like, that is all the motivation they need, is to think about that stuff last year. Really the first time that we had seen any sort of, you know, like, on field where everybody wasn't in lockstep all the time. Now, they won the Super Bowl, so they don't, you know, whatever. But that regular season was uncomfortable. And I honestly, like, I think that experience makes them more dangerous this year. They're saying that out loud, Paul. They're saying, we don't want to let that happen again. And that's scary for the rest of the league.
Well, it is. But leadership is everything, just as it is on this show. Leadership at KWCH, leadership at the Kansas City Chiefs or any NFL franchise, it's huge. And, of course, there's the big difference. Let me tell you, Jacob, let me tell you what the big difference is, why things always seem to be unique with the sport of football, whereas maybe things are a little more common when you go through and you look at volleyball and baseball and basketball. And football is the only sport that you can hit people and not go to jail. That makes the cats that play this game a little different. You can hit somebody, you can hit them hard, and you're not going to jail. That changes the thought processes of who these guys are that play at this level. And I know that sounds a little crazy, but if you think about it, you understand that. So why would Kelce get excited about this? And you think to yourself, my gosh, you're only into training camp a week or two, and here you've got a guy going off on it. No, that's just the way it is. That's the way it is with a group of human beings that hit each other and don't go to jail. That's the way it is with these cats.
Yeah, they're motivated to be awesome. It's good to hear. We just keep hearing that kind of stuff. One more note from Chiefs camp here. Just seeing this from Herbie Teope. Kadarius Toney spent some time in the medical tent this morning and is riding a cart up the hill. So I have to keep an eye on that.
All right.
And look, it's training camp. Well, I think as we see a bunch of players coming back from injury, it's hot as hell out there, and we'll just, you know, watch that kind of stuff. But we will keep our eye on it. We'll let you know any more news and notes that fall out of Chiefs camp here this morning. We'll look around the NFL a little bit as well. And we'll talk Royals when we come back. Let's look at the rest of this schedule now. We've seen what they've done. This is the team. We can, you know, maybe something happens to us, but this is the team that they've got. We'll look at the schedule coming up. We'll look at the overall schedule of things to come. It's all coming for you here on Sports Daily. Let's set up our second giveaway of the day. We'll give away a little HTO. We'll give away free iced tea. This will get you a card to get a free iced tea at either Wichita location, in East or West Wichita, or in Derby. More than 20 flavors to choose from. By the way, you can go in there and try them all for free. It'll also get you a free rain coffee card. Both of those available to a listener. All you got to do is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. We'll pick a winner every day. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. That's TEA to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody, there. When we return, a little more Royals talk. A little on-the-field Royals talk as the trade deadline has come and gone. That's next.
...97.5 and 1240.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this. What day is it? Wednesday?
Well, it's a Wednesday. Edition.
It is a Wednesday. It's a hump day. And we're making our way through. So the Royals, Paul, are through the trade deadline. You and I both think they did a pretty nice job. And we look at this now, and you finish up with the White Sox, and then you continue the road trip with four games in Detroit. And you'll go up against some starting pitching that has been struggling, to say the least. And so you like the opportunities. Right now, I'm seeing Lorenzen listed as the Saturday starter.
Okay.
Which tells you maybe there's some Brady Singer rest coming, if I'm looking at that correctly, which would be fine. That's, well, he's pitching today. I'm sorry. So Singer goes today, but it's his spot in the rotation. So this is interesting. So let me see this, because let me go to the Royals starting pitcher, because I'm looking at a list that's clearly out of date here. So let me just look at if the team page is listing Lorenzen. So what the team? Okay, so yeah, they've backed it way off. So what we know is Singer will start today, and we don't know anything else for the next four. So we'll see what happens. Lorenzen may give somebody a break. Maybe they give everybody an extra day of rest and just go with him on one of these days, and it pushes everybody's starts back. You asked about Lorenzen. I don't think we fully know his role yet. But either way, you're going to have pitching advantage.
Fair enough.
We'll simplify this. They're going to have a pitching advantage, whether it's Lorenzen or any of the five starters in every game that they play in Detroit. How about that?
You finish
the road trip that way, and then you've got some really big series coming up. You get three games against Boston at home, which will start on Monday, and then you get, you know, St. Louis, who's good, right? And they added some players at the trade deadline, including Tommy Pham, who the Royals wanted, and he had a big hit yesterday. And then you got to go play three in Minnesota after that. Now you do that, you get the Minnesota series after a day off. So if we look at this until the next day off, it is nine games until August 11th before a series in Minnesota that is certainly meaningful, right? We know that. And they finish with a lot of meaningful games in late August and early September to the playoff standing. But I will continue to say, there are, you know, there are series here where they've really got to focus in on. You've got games against Detroit. You've got games against, you know, Cincinnati, the Angels mixed in there. You've got some series that they really have to take advantage. If the Royals are going to do this thing, I think they have to be really good against really bad teams. I think that's going to be a big key for them. They have won the first two against the White Sox. Really need to go ahead and finish that sweep off today. And then you need to go take at least three of four in Detroit. Because you know, you get into these other series and those head-to-head things, they're very daunting, Paul, if you sweep or get swept. But most of the time, you know, otherwise, you just, you sort of take, you know, you're going to gain a game, maybe lose a game in those series, again, unless something heroic or tragic happens. So to me, if the Royals make it, what they do against bad teams down the stretch are going to be a big part of that. They really need to be good against bad teams. They can't afford what, you know, you can't afford to lose series to teams that just aren't any good.
And when you look at the Royals, I think I get what you're meaning, and it's but that's why. That's
I mean,
why
how many games are they going to win against these really, really, really good teams? Is it going to be enough if they can beat up on the bad teams down the stretch and get close to splitting with the teams they'll be competing with the wild card? I think it will be. I think it will be enough if they can do that. Now, you know, you go look at the standings right now, and you know, Kansas City sits 10 games over 500. You know, is that 546 winning percentage going to be enough? Well, maybe, probably. And so it's hard because they haven't been very good. They've lost three in a row, but they're going to be good. I think Boston is the team I'm not real sure about. Tampa sold, so you'd envision them falling out of it. Yankees are probably going to be real good down the stretch. They've won four in a row. The Twins, look, I think with the moves they made at the deadline, you could say the Royals have surpassed the Twins on paper. I think you could say that. And so you got, you know, I like their chances, but it's a stretch of games over the final 2 months of the season. Is we've tried to do this all year long. You go in, you sort of set goals for the team. What do they need to do? I would say for me now, it's pretty much split the games with teams in the playoff chase and beat up on bad teams. Don't lose games to bad teams. And I think that'll be enough for them.
Well, winning happens to solve a lot of problems, and that's exactly true. But you can't give up games to the White Sox type teams. You can't give up. You know,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Can't give up to teams like Tampa. You just can't do that. Average teams, even. And you can't do that, which by the way, I'm sitting here looking at this particular line with Kansas City and Chicago today. How the heck do you even bet this thing? I mean,
you have to give up some runs.
Of course you do. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, over under 8.5. Isn't that an under? Isn't that an under, maybe? Maybe.
It's a neither for me. Neither? I mean, the problem is you kind of don't bet it. Because at the money line, you're going -235. You're not betting that on money line. And so most of the time when you get that, you're like, okay, I'll give them, you know, I'll make it to where they got to win by two runs. Well, even just to get to plus money against a team as bad as the White Sox have been, you got to give up three runs essentially to get to plus money.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, it's
I'm
still Major League that. Baseball too, remember? I'm not playing that game.
Now, I will say that it is a Brady Singer day start where he has been pretty good. You know, for whatever reason, he's been good in the daytime. So, you know, you could look at Singer strikeouts. I like to bet innings pitched. I think he could get very deep into this game. I think betting Bobby Witt Jr. right now is a pretty good proposition for Brady Singer, you know, to record a win is -120. That's not bad. So here's the one, and it's juiced way down. So you'd have to go into a place where you could alter this. But at ESPN Bet, they've got Singer right now at 17.5 outs, which would be right more than 5 2/3 innings. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you think he's going to pitch six innings, you make that bet.
You make it.
But it's juiced down to -190. Mm-hmm. And so then you've got to really alter that and to try to get to plus money. There's not a lot on the table here for the Royals today, quite frankly. And they've been this way when they play the White Sox. So I might look at Singer's strikeouts over. Don't love it. I think I'm more inclined. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. to hit home runs only +240. That's not good enough for me. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Well, today's
two hits for Bobby Witt Jr. They gave us a multi-hit game. You could get plus money on that. But again, you got to keep in mind walks factor into that. Total bases is the place you probably want to go if you're doing that. And his total bases, you've got to get three total bases. You get plus money at three. I think that may be the way to go. So basically, if he has three walks, you hit your bet, right? If they're walking him. So total right. bases for Bobby Witt Jr. is probably, of everything I just looked at, probably the one I would be the most comfortable with. But it's hard to make bets when you're playing the White Sox this year. It just is.
Well, and Drew Thorpe's on the bump today for the White Sox. He's not a bad pitcher. I mean, he's 3-2 right now, and with a 4.1 ERA. I mean, you know, he could end up being a problem for the Royals, particularly on some of the bets that you were just talking about. So, you know, with that being said, I understand why you're staying away from it. You know, you would think, you know, and I don't bet, and I'm not really familiar with a lot of the different bets that you are. But I look at this and I think to myself, as a spectator, sure, I'm going to make some bets. I'm going to feast up a little bit on the White Sox. They're not very good. But it doesn't always work.
Out.
But that doesn't work out that way. It's juiced out.
It's juiced out. Yeah, I don't like it.
All right.
I don't like it at all. So
I'm learning.
I wouldn't bet much. We'll call it this. I'll take Bobby Witt Jr. over 2.5 total bases. How about that? Ken, as we're talking Royals, has a question for us. So Gunnar Henderson, 928 OPS. Bobby Witt Jr., 987. Juan Soto, 1.031 and Judge 1.147. Who do we have for MVP? I think it's way too early, Ken. I think it's way too early. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what's factored in here, because you'll have, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. with the defense and speed. You'll have Henderson with the speed. You'll have the sluggers, of course, which is what he's referring to with Soto and Judge. You know, the easy answer is to say, well, just whoever has the highest OPS. But the thing about Henderson and Witt is they have so many other facets to their game that factor in. Maybe you got to go look at WAR, which I think Bobby Witt Jr. in total WAR is a little higher. I don't know the answer right now, Ken, because we got 2 months of baseball to play.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. If all four players end up in the postseason, I think you can look at that, but I think they're going to need to. I think the MVP winner is going to need to be in the postseason. I'll tell you that.
Well, and life is easier when you have that lineup of the Yankees with you, too. Life's a little easier.
Yeah.
Life's a little better.
Well, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I know you would,
Look, there are things that factor into MVP voting. Bobby Witt Jr. has and is carrying this team. Now, is that reality? I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, starting pitching is carrying this team. Salvador Perez has certainly had a fine year. Vinny Pasquantino's. So I think it's a little bit deceptive. However, the perception is he is carrying this team. That will sway voters, probably. You know, that will impact things. If the Royals get on a tear and go down the stretch, and you're looking up and down the Orioles lineup, and you're looking up and down the Yankees lineup, and then you see the Royals and Bobby Witt Jr. keeps on this tear. By the way, if he keeps on this tear, he's going to win the MVP. But if the law of averages play out and you get these four guys who are pretty even, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to have a chance, Paul. He's new. He's young. People are really enjoying watching him play. And there is a perception that he is doing everything to keep the Royals in the mix. Again, I don't know that that's fair and actually reality, but that perception is there. He has that reputation now. And as voters look at that, that may factor in. And so I think we watch that. And I think that's a big part of it to help answer Ken's question there. All right, let's take a quick break here. We've got our HTO giveaway set up here. It's text the keyword T to 20357 if you want to get in on that. Let's take a look around some other things, some other stories developing in training camp around the NFL. Deshaun Watson, not looking good. We brought his name up the other day. He's not looking good. A lot of quarterbacks are getting paid. We can get Mr. Savage's thoughts on some of that as well. We get a wide receiver paid again here today as other wide receivers are holding out, the holdouts, the hold-ins. Just kind of what are we seeing around the NFL? We'll hit that next on Sports Daily.
Dude, you got to hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily. Another wide receiver gets paid, DJ Moore in the Chicago Bears. 4-year, $110 million extension. The first, $82.6 is guaranteed. He makes history. He's the first NFL receiver to have the first 10 years of his career fully guaranteed. He was really good last year in Chicago with Justin Fields. He was good and talented in Carolina. You could make a case that he's walking into the best situation at quarterback as far as just a pure passer goes this year with Caleb Williams there. I know Caleb Williams is a rookie and has lots to prove to us, but DJ Moore's a really talented guy. He's signed big time long-term deals this offseason, Paul. Justin Jefferson has been paid. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been paid. Devonta Smith and AJ Brown have been paid. Brown again. Jaylen Waddle, Nico Collins, Michael Pittman have all been paid. Then we have the holdouts. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper, most notably. It's been an interesting offseason for the wide receivers. They have taken a lot of the headlines. You know, outside of Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons in Dallas, it's these receivers who are dominating all this contract talk. I think it emphasizes the importance of that position. I don't know. I think it's become an interesting time for wide receiver, Paul, because you have these receivers have never been better and more impactful, but I would also say there's never been more of them that are really good and impactful at the same time. So another one gets paid. You know, the Chiefs continue to not have any of the high dollar receivers. Cowboys are in their own little dispute here, but it's, you know, it's been a really interesting offseason for NFL wide receivers.
Yeah, and what's interesting is the receivers that are still trying to get that deal signed, half of them at least that I know of that you mentioned at the opening of this segment, half of them are in camp. Half of them, no, they don't have pads on, but half of them are there. They got their jersey on.
They're hold-ins.
They're hold-ins. That's the new term. I don't know how long that term has been around. What, a year or two maybe? But they're hold-ins. I haven't got it in my vernacular yet. But anyway, they're hold-ins. But they're around. They're going to meetings. They're doing everything. I mean, it's like they're a member of the team. They're sitting in on meetings. They're talking to coaches. They're in huddles, literally in the huddle, listening to what's being done. So it's an awe. I use the word holdout. It's not the word holdout that you and I grew up with, is it?
No, but I think there are different levels of it. Charles says, I love to say that's wild. Yeah, that's a good term. I use that term probably more than normal. Appreciate that, Charles. Appreciate you paying attention there. But it is wild. It's wild that these receivers are making this much money because for a long time, you know, the perception was, you know, great receivers don't win Super Bowls. I think Patrick Mahomes has made that, you know, we'd have to look elsewhere he's had great receivers, but not expensive ones. But he's also Patrick Mahomes. So I think we have bucked that trend to some degree, but it is the business of football now, and it's a pass happy league. So of course it makes sense to pay these guys. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. I think Cincinnati's got to get Jamar Chase done. You got to pick at least one of those two guys at some point here because you believe you have the quarterback to take you there. San Francisco and Brandon Ayuk are pretty interesting because they've got some other guys there. Ayuk's really good, but they have Debo that they're already paying. They just drafted a rookie. I don't know what happens with him. He's asked for a trade. Cooper waiting for a new deal. So Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb are interesting here. And Lamb has a case, Lamb has a case at the best receiver. I don't think Cooper's that anymore. But these two are interesting to me because the quarterback position for both of these guys is a little bit up in the air, right? We don't know what the future for Dak Prescott looks like in Dallas. It feels like to me they're just going to let him play out this year and then see what happens, which I think might be the right decision on that. But that doesn't mean you still have to make a decision on CeeDee Lamb. But do you pay CeeDee Lamb all that money if you're starting over at quarterback? Do you pay Amari Cooper all that money if Deshaun Watson sucks? Both of those teams are expected to be good, are expected to be playoff contenders. I think in the case of Dallas, you've certainly, obviously feel better about quarterback. But in the long term, you don't know if he's the guy. In Cleveland, you don't know if Deshaun Watson is anything in the short or long term other than you're paying him gobs of money. I don't know if you saw a couple of the throws he's made at camp. We don't even know if he's healthy, but he looks not good. Those two are interesting to me. If you're Jerry Jones and you're the Dallas Cowboys, you giving CeeDee Lamb, if you're willing to say, you know what, Dak, play this year out, we don't know what we're going to do with you. Does it make sense to pay CeeDee Lamb and make him the highest paid receiver? Because that's probably what he wants.
It might, and here's why, because you need somebody that, let's say Dak Prescott isn't the same Dak that we've known over the years. Well, maybe you got to have somebody that's a leader with the receiver, somebody that you can go to, that go-to guy. So maybe, and I can make a case for this, I can also make a case that wouldn't be the case. You need to go get, a guy like Lamb and get him signed, get him into camp, and make sure he's a part of this team just because – you don't know where you're at. I mean, receivers are
well,
so...
they move on from Dak. Doesn't CeeDee Lamb then potentially help the rookie if you were to go that way?
I didn't make it very good, but that's my point. He's a veteran, and he will... Yeah.
Does it make sense if you're going to go through a rebuild to pay that particular player that much money when you know as you're rebuilding you're not going to win anything? And I'll give you a couple examples. The Packers, before they turned the keys over to Jordan Love, they traded away their big star receiver, Devontae Adams, right? They traded him away because they knew they were going to have to rebuild. It didn't make any sense. Now, he wanted to be traded, but it didn't make any sense at the time to have that position paid that highly as a part of the rebuild. Mm-hmm. I get that philosophy. Right. Mm-hmm. I think what makes it interesting for both the Cowboys and the Browns is they feel like they can win right now. But I think both teams in the bigger picture are uncertain at the moment at quarterback. Now, if the Cowboys came in and they said, you know what, Dak, fine, we're going to pay you, then absolutely you have to pay CeeDee Lamb, right? Micah Parsons has got to get paid. I don't know what Dallas does here. I don't know if they can afford to do all three and just, you know, give them a ton of money. I'm not sure. But I do think it's interesting with Cooper and with Lamb, as we see all these other receivers getting paid, that you do have to think about, like, what are we doing after this year at quarterback, right? If you're the Cowboys and you don't think it's going to be Dak, I could totally see them, you know, not paying, and I don't think this is going to happen. But if I was in charge and I knew I was going to rebuild and I was going to blow it up, which is what they should have done, you know, a decade ago, then I don't know that it makes much sense, even as great as CeeDee Lamb is, to pay a wide receiver. If you don't have anybody to throw it to and you're not going to win a game, doesn't it make more sense to use those funds and build up through the line and do the rebuild thing and trade and get assets and do all of that stuff? I think it's interesting. I think we've got interesting decisions to be made in those two situations specifically.
Jacob, how can I explain this to you? And you should know this, for goodness sakes. You're a Dallas Cowboy fan. Is the word rebuild in the vernacular of Jerry Jones or the Cowboy organization? Do you really think that they believe that there will ever come a time in the history of professional football that they need to rebuild? They reload. That's what they do.
Yeah, that's what they say, except they've done nothing in the last two off seasons to add to the team.
But they think, but obviously, if that is the particular case, which to a certain extent it is, they believe that they're where they need to be. They have what they need, because
they don't, though. I mean, they don't.
But the mindset of Jerry Jones is unique.
I know.
Yeah,
I understand that.
It's going to be different than a lot of NFL teams. And when you're specifically talking about the Dallas Cowboys, it's sort of a different conversation than, say, if we were having it with the Cleveland Browns or the Baltimore Colts, I mean, the Indianapolis Colts or somebody like that. It's a different conversation because there's ego involved. Well, there's ego involved in every owner of an NFL team, but you get my point with Jerry Jones.
They're in purgatory, Paul. Make a decision one way or the other.
I'm not sure Jerry
sign
knows
back
it.
In CD.
I don't know that he knows
or don't.
It.
Well, he does. I don't. Anyway, DJ Moore signs his big deal. The offseason dominated by wide receiver contracts continues. These young guys are getting paid and paid and paid and paid. And again, Chiefs fans, you just feel so fortunate. Mm-hmm. They let maybe the best wide receiver in football walk out the door. And what have they done since? All they've done is win two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's wild.
Well, the NFL,
it's wild.
The NFL helped when they raised the base salary cap to, what was it, 35 or 40 million? I mean, it was a bunch. That helped a lot. That added to a lot of these contracts.
Sure. It's not as much to me about the exact – it's just about what positions are being paid.
I got you.
You know, it's all relative. Yeah, they raise the salary cap, but then the salary demands of the star players just go up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how much – I don't know if it's bringing up the floor. I hope it's bringing up the floor. That would be the intended thing for bringing up the salary cap. But I think in a lot of ways it just gets the highest paid players paid more.
Right.
Which is the business of football, and that's just fine. Moore, the Bears offense, I'm bullish on the Bears, Paul. If Caleb Williams is worth a lick, they're gonna be pretty good this year. I can't wait to watch him play, and I think they've done a really good job of putting the pieces around him. All right, we're gonna take one more break here. We'll come back. We'll get you set up for the day, including some Royals baseball. That's next on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.